You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John. Hour number two, we will start things off with David Grubb. We'll touch on the Pels and Jazz. 114-104 Utah with the win. We'll also talk about his excellent piece on Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf and what he's up to. And hard to believe that he's turning 50. So we'll chat with him coming up here in a little bit. And rest of the hour, we'll talk a little basketball. And we'll have some fun on last night. LeBron passing Jordan on the list. And, of course, that, of course, sparks the debate on ESPN. Last night on the post-game shows and this morning, who's better, him or Michael, the works. So we'll have a little fun with that here as well. Plus, we'll take your phone calls and anything else that we've been chatting on. Again, just touched on it at the start of the show. An hour ago, Saints waving running back Daniel Lasco. You can start seeing a lot of teams kind of clearing the way here a little bit as NFL free agency 6 days away. Wednesday next week is when the madness begins. We can have a little fun with that here as well. Thanks to Casey Chisclair, who joined us from Marsh Madness, as St. Aug and Brother Martin are finishing up their game. Thibodeau and Bonneville coming up at 3. We'll have that game for you here in the Class 5A semifinals over in Lake Charles. David Grubb joins us now from Crescent City Sports, covers the Pelicans, a little LSU football, and, of course, did a great piece here on a legend over at LSU Hoops in Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf. First off, David, how are you this afternoon? Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing very well. And yourself?
Doing well, man. Let's get the Pels out of the way here quickly. Pels and Jazz last night. Look, it is what it is, right? AD got his 16 points in 21 minutes, 5 boards, 3 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. He can play. Great. Randall, 23 points. Holiday, 16. Came up a little short, though. He didn't get the help, I guess, from the bench and really from some of the other guys to beat Utah second straight time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Utah, when healthy, is one of the elite teams in the league. A lot of people had them as a potential Western Conference finalist, and they may still put that kind of run together. You know, the Pelicans undoing, I mean, they just numerically, but they, with Anthony on the floor, they were a minus 18, and they lose the game by 10. So I'm not saying it's his fault in regard that he's, you know, actively trying to not have it go well. But right. Mentally, it changes everything for the team when he's on the floor. They don't really run sets for him now. And so the offense is very different. And it's just guys are kind of trying to figure out what to do with him. But when he's out, they're able to be a bit more free. That mental burden is gone and they can play. And so even though they don't have the talent of the teams that they're facing right now, their effort is compensating for the things that they don't do well.
Is that the thing that I guess is the oddest of them all? Is that because you look at the stat lines and look, the last couple of games he's played, I mean, he puts up a ton of minutes and fills the box score, whether it's boards, assists, and blocks, the works. But like you said, the plus minuses don't lie. So you think it's just while he's getting that statistically success, it's just for some reason it's not incorporating into, like, I guess what I'm asking you long-winded wise, why isn't his plus minus better when he's actually putting up stats that fill everything from boards to assist to blocks?
If, you know, watching last night, it was clear, you know, that he was not giving a real effort defensively. His blocks were what I call, you know, they were reactionary blocks. And I think when you watch the difference between a guy like Rudy Gobert defensively and Anthony Davis, and again, this is about style, not about effort most times, but Anthony has not been giving great effort lately. But defensively, what Gobert does is he's not only able to block shots, but he also takes away that space of the lane so people don't even get into the paint against Utah. But what you saw against the Pelicans last night is that you were able, that, you know, Utah was able to get into the paint, shoot floaters, get layups, get dunks, and, you know, when Gobert can go with 8 of 9 from the floor, you know, and primarily just, and he was moving off of screens and not just standing near the basket. So it was just the Pelicans had nothing interior-wise when Anthony Davis was on the floor. But they could at least kind of frustrate him with Chet and his energy for what the minutes that he played. And Randle was able to put a body on him at times. And then when the Pelicans started getting to the line, things were better. But with AD, he's not getting to the free throw line. He's not really having an impact other than taking shots and occasionally getting some boards. But it's just filler. And that's really a microcosm of the entire season for him.
Speak with Derek Grubb, Crescent City Sports. Pels next up will host the Raptors tomorrow, then at Atlanta on Sunday. And then next week, Tuesday, it's the Bucks, which should be a fun game here at the SKC. Portland on Friday, and then Phoenix on Saturday, all home games as well. Before we move on to your story with Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf, I got to get your take. Rondo sitting a couple of seats away from the Lakers at the end of the game yesterday. I just played Ramona Shelbourne in the hour yesterday, where she said the reaction was polite from the Lakers crowd when he passed Jordan, LeBron did in scoring. It is not going the way things were, I guess, planned in L.A., is it?
Not at all. And I, you know, before the season, and I hate, you know, people think you pat yourself on the back, but no, I thought it was just an awkward fit for LeBron, both organizationally. I just didn't think the Lakers were the place for it wasn't a good fit for the Lakers more so than LeBron. So LeBron is satisfied whatever it was emotionally and business-wise that he wanted. But I didn't see how that team was going to work with him, and it just hasn't. And people will say, well, if he hadn't gotten hurt, then such and such. But, yeah, if the Pelicans hadn't gotten hurt, where would they be? If Denver hadn't had as many guys lose games to injuries, where would they be? Where would Golden State be if they've had injuries all year, too? So everybody could talk about injuries. Houston, I mean, come on. So, yeah, I thought before the season that the Lakers were at best a 6th or 7th or an 8th seed in the West, and they're not making it that far, so they're not going to make the playoffs this season. And I don't see, even if they do make the playoffs next season, even if they were able to get Anthony Davis, I don't see how they get any further than the conference semifinals next year.
Yeah, no doubt. Was it really about winning or marketing? Whatever it was that made LeBron go to the Lakers, it is what it is. And like I said, it's just, you didn't expect the home crowd to give you a polite response when he's crying into a towel. It's just,
yeah,
it's a lot of, it's good theater.
Oh my gosh. And then writing Jordan's name on his shoes. And stop it. Stop it.
I wasn't even going to bring that up. I just like I said, he's very aware of all the coverage. And look, no one pats himself on the back on Instagram better than LeBron. Y'all lost.
He did it before the game. If he had gotten hurt in the first quarter, then he would just look like an idiot. And he did it. He congratulated himself before the game.
It is what it is, man. I'll tell you, can you think of a bigger contrast in really how they see themselves in him and the guy you wrote about here, Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf? Man, it's crazy. I read your piece, and I'm like, he turns 50. I'm like, that's right.
Right.
43. I'm telling you, I said that earlier today, and I'm sure there's some LSU fans that went, oh, my. Because it just seems like yesterday, dude, he was so darn good, right? I mean, do you think people have not given – the credit that he had?
Bridgewater is a talent. I'm not trying to knock him in any way, Max. Jeff, by the way, it's great to see you.
I'm
not trying to knock it in any way, but I'm like, what is all this noise about Teddy Bridgewater?
I don't know what that's coming from in the background, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think people in general understand anymore, and that's everybody's fault. That's LSU's fault. It's his fault, and he understands that. And then, you know, I think the climate has been, in certain ways, allowed for him to be erased a little bit. And that's what I kind of touched on in the piece, just how that lack of a connection between everybody involved here has been a disservice to both the university and to his legacy. And I think they both benefit from their relationship with each other, and it's so important for him to be embraced by the LSU family and that community. And I think it's bigger than him in a lot of ways. It is, there are student athletes in other sports at LSU who have felt similar ways about just, when I leave, what am I now? You know, you loved me on the field or the court or whatever, but do you love me now? And I think that there is a feeling, you know, of that. And he's, in that regard, he is a symbol of that. And I think that this fight and journey to get to bring those two sides back together is really an interesting one, and one that I think that will ultimately be a success story beyond, again, sports for LSU.
Yeah, you know, David, it really is a journey. I mean, from his house being burned down, I mean, to all, it's just, it's incredible. When you think about it, that 30 years ago, here as a freshman, dude averaged 30 points a game in college, setting a record there. I mean, 30 points a game. He really won. Again, it just, guy could play, man.
I try to explain to people who didn't see it. And I said, first of all, it was the greatest 2 years of basketball of my life. And I say that as LSU was never my primary team. You know, I was, the first school I rooted for was Michigan. That's where I was born. You know, mm-hmm. I've been a Knicks fan for most of my life. LSU captured something for me different during those 2 years. It was must-see television. You know, you remember those Jefferson Pilot game of the week, and it would be,
yeah.
You know, that,
yeah.
And remember that time. People have to remember, too, the time that it was in the SEC, that was almost peak-level SEC as far as some of the talent. You had Gerald Glass at Mississippi. You had Allen Houston at Tennessee. Alabama had Latrell Sprewell and guys like that. I mean, it was, there were guards everywhere, and he was the best. I mean, he was just an amazing, amazing basketball player. And his handle, his ability to pass, he played above the rim. And the crossover into a jump shot is still the quickest move I've ever seen on a basketball court.
He was incredible, not only on the, be able to score, as you're referencing too. It's the handle that he had and the speed that he had too, as well, defensively, everything. Like, I just think, and you put a link to a YouTube video too, just, I mean, stealing the basketball, just everything. He was just, and always the thing that stood out to me above the scoring and the stats, he was in control, David. He was in control. And you talk about it, and you look at point guards now, and look, it's one of the things I love watching, you know, Chris Paul, and it's, you get the sense and feel that I got it. They understand the feel and flow of the game, when to speed up, when to slow down, looking at the clock, moving pieces, and it's just the importance of having that. And that was him, man.
He knew the moment, and he knew when it was time for him to explode. And stars of that magnitude don't come around often. You know what I mean? And LSU's been fortunate, considering that its basketball history has been inconsistent, to have had three of the biggest shows in the history of college basketball come through Baton Rouge is an amazing thing. And to leave him out of that group, for him not to be honored in that way, and I understand LSU's rules, and I hope that they work to just amend this, because it won't just impact Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. You're talking about guys like Aaron Nola, you know, who's maybe the greatest pitcher in LSU history, and he won't get his jersey retired under the current rules. Alex Bregman won't get his jersey retired under the current rules. So, I mean, there are athletes who are going to be impacted by this. Think how many LSU football players are not going to ever get honored in that way. And so I think LSU needs to figure out a way to obviously understand the portion of student-athlete, but there also needs to be a way to honor these athletic accomplishments, because they did do a lot for the university. These guys not only brought in you money, they increased your enrollment, they did all these things, and I think it's a simple thing to do to carry on a legacy.
It's interesting you bring that up when you start mentioning names like Bregman and Nola, and you're right. And maybe that might get people to kind of look that way. But, you know, it's crazy. You reference it, Steph Curry, you know, before that, but also cap before cap. There really is no distinguishing really what happened after with Abdul-Rauf, after he left LSU, went to the NBA and took certain stances, and it definitely affected his career.
Yeah, and you don't have to agree with everything, and I don't. There are statements that he's made that I don't agree with. But I think, you know, the fact that he essentially lost his career because of it, you know, he was coming off the best season of his career, and then he was gone. So it was just very a very different time in America. Like I said, he would still be receiving backlash probably today for taking stances that he did, but there'd be a much more supportive culture out there. His teammates would react to him differently. The league would react to him differently, I think, today than it did then. And I think our country would at least allow some space for him to do that. But he did it with a time when there was no safety net, where there was no public help. And he talked about that. He said social media has been so much more important now in keeping Cap's agenda, like as just people understanding what he's really trying to do. He said nobody was there to do that for me, and me speaking on it wasn't helping. So I understand where he's coming from with that, and it's just, it's amazing that he kind of views himself. He understands where he falls in the lineage of civil rights figures in sports. And he said his relationship with Cap, the one thing is, they never tell each other what to do. They just kind of share experiences and, just talk about it. But they know that, hey, your heart's in the right place. I'm sure you'll figure it out.
One of the things that stood out in your piece, again, speak with David Grubb, Crescent City Sports, man, he was there, like an hour just taking pictures and signing it. It probably meant a lot to him, and I think it was pretty cool that most of those people, David, were probably people that didn't get a chance to watch him play.
Yeah, there's a lot of students who just stayed and talked to him, and he was fully willing to engage. He asked people for book titles. He said, if you know good books, please tell me books. I love to read. And so he asked for all those kind of things, and he was glad to interact. When we had the luncheon with a number of students, he said, really, I'm here to listen to you guys. You know, he said, tell me what it's like, because I just didn't get the same student experience that you got. And so he just really was engaged with them. And you can see there's a great affection for him. Tazen Mitchell, who was in the piece, Tazen was like a kid. It was like a kid around him. And it was just, Tazen's a big guy. And yeah, it was just, he was so giddy to be around him and just to express how much they want him around the basketball program. So it was really emotional in that way.
I was going to say, David, in this day and age where there's so much nonsense going on, somebody that actually sees things a little more important than on the basketball court, but can also bridge that gap and has probably so much basketball knowledge to give. I'm LSU. I'm trying to make that guy an ambassador, man. Somebody can reach out to students like that and kids and can kind of grow that sector and population for your university. Man, I can help in so many different areas. I'm doing whatever I can to make sure that you see and hear a lot more of Abdul-Rauf if I'm LSU.
Absolutely. I mean, he does instruct young players, so it'd be great to have him involved in some off-season camps with LSU and attached to those. I mean, you're trying to regrow the sport of basketball in Louisiana, yep, and that guy with his style of play and in this era is, that's a perfect match.
Yeah, that is a very good point. Can you imagine what he could be doing now? Again, 30-point average as a freshman in college. It's pretty outstanding. Pretty outstanding. David, thank you, man, for sharing a little bit of that piece. I highly recommend you guys go check it out. And as I said, David, when I mentioned it in hour number one, look, over the weekend, you probably had a lot of different stuff. So you hadn't seen it. Go check it out. CrescentCitySports.com. If not, just go to David's Twitter. It's pinned at the top, so you don't have to scroll at DM Grubb. And of course, you should be following him already because he loves talking about LeBron and the Pels. So we can have a little fun with that. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
No problem. Talk to you soon.
For sure, David Grubb. Love it. It's fun. Hey, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about LeBron and where he goes and where he's ranked. I was having an interesting conversation this morning at breakfast and with this individual. We were talking a little bit about where LeBron ranks, where's Jordan ranked, just all these different things. So we're going to play some sound from LeBron. We're going to do all of this. Plus, we ask you to join in the conversation. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA as well. So we'll touch on it because, as David said, LeBron Instagram congratulated himself before the game on passing Michael Jordan. So, like, it's incredible. No one pats himself on the back more and better.
So humble.
And that's saying something for me. Sports Hangover coming up next, a little bit more on ESPN New Orleans. But they fought with expert
timing. Henry's favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
It's Joe's Septic Contractors annual Shooting the Crap on Saturday, March 16th.
All registered participants must provide their own guns, shells, safety protection, and golf court. Competition times are set by 8 a.m. and 12:30. All proceeds benefit Give the Kids the World and the Center for Pediatric Therapy Scholarship Fund. Registered shooters have the chance to win a 12-gauge shotgun, but you must be present to win. Please come on out and show your support for this worthy cause at the annual Shooting to Craft Clay Shooting Competition, right behind Joe's Septic Contractors at 15344 Highway 3235 in Cutoff. Shooting to Craft Clay Shooting Competition will be held rain or shine. Call 985-632-5592 for more info or register in advance at Joe's Septic Contractors. Mail checks to P.O. Box 336, Cutoff, Louisiana, 70345. Thank you and God bless.
Keep up with your favorite shows on the go with TV Everywhere. Vision's TV packages now include TV Everywhere, so you can watch your favorites on any internet-connected laptop or mobile device, anytime, anywhere. Keep up with series, movies, and more from many networks in your TV package, including live sports on channels like ESPN. Just log in, make your selection, and enjoy. TV Everywhere. It's included with Vision's TV service. Sign up now at viscom.net.
We alarm our houses. And we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Gus Kattengill with you. And Joey, it's warming up. It looks like it's a good 15 degrees now outside here in Connecticut.
Man, start still planting right. The flowers.
Hey, it's better than the 10 when we landed yesterday, so it's getting warmer as well. All right, so LeBron last night passes Michael Jordan, fourth on the all-time scoring list. And yes, he did. Congratulate himself on Instagram before the game started. Wrote his name on his shoes, Jordan's name on his shoes, did all those different things. LeBron then cried into the towel when they stopped play. The moment.
Take us behind the towel when it's covering your face. And you moved up to fourth all-time scoring a kid from Akron. What were some of the thoughts going through your head at that point?
That this is... I would never would have ever imagined this. You just don't make it out where I come from, you know, and to see me and my best friends growing up, to see all the success we've had in our own respective lives, you know, with the possibility of us never being able to make it out, and to know that I'm linked with, you know, some of the greatest that ever played this game, man. It was just, you know, very emotional for me. Like I said, MJ was everything. MJ was everything for me growing up as a kid. And, you know, it's just, like you said, I don't ever have an opportunity to kind of sit back and understand the moment. But I had a couple moments there at that point in time. And obviously, the emotions ran through.
So it was interesting. A follow-up question from a reporter was, if Jordan was in front of you and you could talk to him, what would you say?
I don't know. He'd probably get a lot of the words that I just gave y'all. You know, like I said, the first time I met him, I was 15 years old. I went up to Chicago, and I used to play summer basketball, and I went up there, and you could probably go to one of my old interviews, and I was, you know, much younger, and I said it was like meeting Jesus. You know, that was my depiction of what Jesus would be like, you know, when I met MJ, because of I just never thought I would be able to meet him. I never thought that I would see him. You know, you always seen him on TV or on Sports Illustrated or Sports Illustrated for Kids or basketball cards. If you were lucky, if you were lucky to get a pack with MJ in it, you know, seen him on Wheaties boxes. And, you know, he was, I would always see his posters when I would go. Me and my friends would walk in the mall. We would see the shoe stores. And obviously I wasn't able to afford Jordans at that point in time in my life. But I would just always love what he was about and then watch him on TV. So I would give him a lot of the conversation that I'm giving you guys. Sorry, I'm clicking this thing a lot, but it's keeping me calm. It's just, you guys have no idea, man. And I'm trying to give it to you guys, but you guys have no idea what MJ did for me and my friends growing up. You know, just in a sense of, you know, some days where you just don't even feel like you're gonna make it to the next day where I grew up, you know, because of everything that's going on. So, like I wrote on my shoes tonight, like you saw, I thank MJ more than he would, more than he'd ever known. And I gotta carry it on to the next kid. Hopefully I can inspire the next kid like myself.
Interesting when you hear it that way, right? Anthony Piccinelli, Tony and the Field, has his own podcast here. As part of the Tulane crew here, does video, and we were having breakfast this morning. We were just talking a lot about Jordan, LeBron, and his status here as well. We can get into a lot of different aspects of it, but listening to him say that, that's the one thing you can say. When people debate back and forth, which is always interesting, because I call it the pendulum, because it's almost like there's no middle ground. You're either for LeBron or for MJ, because for some reason it's like one has to be better than the other. They're different players, though. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, they're completely different players, and they played in different eras. But as you mentioned, it's the pendulum. It's 2019. Everyone's either one end of the spectrum or the other, and the hot takes are what gets the clicks and the views these days.
That's
so
right.
Unfortunately, you can't be a sane, rational person and be somewhere in the middle or try to break it down logically. You just have to scream the loudest, and hopefully your content gets the most retweets and likes.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up after a break here, because you and I were talking about where media is
sports
right now.
Sports media in general. It's in a bad place.
Yeah, because, you know, I was talking to Anthony a little bit about the Wilbon, and I'm going to play that by coming up a little bit later here as well on how you just, you know, you have Van Gundy doing a national game saying, you know, do they even have a full-time beat report? It's just, it's things like that you would never have heard in years past. And now it's just almost, it's okay to not be informed. It's almost like I'm informed and I'm still telling you why I'm right. So we'll get into that in a sec. But it's one of the things that you and I were discussing this morning. Today's era and his era. And it's always hard to do that. We hear it obviously with football and things of that nature, but today's NBA and Jordan's NBA, what are some of the biggest differences you think that actually prevent maybe making a good comparison with LeBron and Michael?
Well, I think the question, who's better, there's a lot of ambiguity there just first and foremost, right? Like who had the better career or who's a better basketball player? Like who when you look at the games, don't just look at the box scores, when you objectively watch the tape, who was better at every facet of the game? That's a completely different conversation, in my opinion, than who had the better career. And so I think that needs to be like addressed right off the bat in a lot of these debates. But I think to answer your question, it's tough to look at these different eras because Jordan was so dominant when he played, so dominant that he made the competition, which I will admit is probably not as competitive as today's NBA, look even less competitive because he was so good, mm-hmm. so dominant that he killed those dudes every single night. And now LeBron, he's playing against, I mean, I would say that guys like Kevin Durant and Giannis and Paul George are better than the guys that LeBron is going up, that MJ was going up against back in his heyday. But he's still dominant. I just think that it's a combination of MJ being so good and then playing less athletic, not as good competition that it made him kind of on a different pedestal. I think, again, it's just so tough because they're two completely different games.
You know, it's one of the things, Anthony, that you bring up, and it is true because I got to watch him play. And I've told this before, you know, our intern Jordan, not to be confused at all, remotely close with Michael Jordan. That's completely not on the same level. Sorry, Jordan. But anyway, what's funny is, you know, I remember talking about it. I wasn't born. And like, he wasn't born. He never got to see the last of the three-peat. So he never watched him play, which is why I'm kind of excited. And I'm going to be interested to see media reaction, social media reaction, when this 30 for 30
comes out.
No, I can't wait.
Because I think it's going to be the first, what is it, 10 parts. So you're going to get to see.
All on ESPN Plus, by
right,
the way.
Exactly.
You're paying for that.
You will be
paying for
that.
You're for sure paying for it.
You're going to see, I think, what made him complex, what made him unique, what made him great, and what did different things. And to hear him, LeBron just now say, like, how he passes on to the next kid and how they inspire them and everything. Look, I think, again, I was around when it went up a notch, when a shoe company became an apparel giant and became, you know, something where you were either cool to have it or not, but just took that game. I've talked about this before, whether it's Magic or Larry. They took what was before them. You had great players before them, but, you know, Magic brought Showtime. Right?
Yeah.
A little flair and stuff. A guy with his size to the point guard and ability to pass that big and be fluid and stuff like that. Larry in the Celtics, he had a whole different style of basketball on the East Coast. It was tough. It was almost like, hey, you know, playground style ball in terms of physicalness. You know, they didn't like the flashy. And their rivalry, I think, sparked non-hoop fans to kind of tune in. And then you had the era just after that, which was what Magic took. Took what Magic and Larry did, and Jordan then just elevated even more. He brought non-basketball people to know who his name was, what Nike was, what that shoe was, and all of those things.
I think that's a different question, too. Who has the bigger impact on basketball? And, yeah. And I would for sure go with Jordan on that. That guy revolutionized
the game. It global. He made the
game. He revolutionized the game. There is no one that I think will ever have as big an impact on basketball as Michael Jordan did.
Well, Anthony, you think about it, just like in baseball or football, anything like that, we'll do it out of the break here. I'm trying to think of athletes that crossed over sports. I mean, Tiger Woods would be like another one that I would think of that would be post-Michael, where everyone sort of knew who he was. I mean, he hawked stuff where all walks of life, whether it's Gatorade or, you know, underwear with Hanes or just that brand, just anything of that nature, where it wasn't marketed to a certain sect. He crossed over to everything. It was incredible. Sports Hangover, Gus Cattingale, Anthony Piccinelli. We talk a little hoops right now here as well. Feel free to jump in to the conversation. Scott chiming in. Muhammad Ali, number one, was another
guy
sort of like that as well. We'll talk more about this when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, are you just going to stand there and let people not give you credit for being a good driver? You deserve discounts on car insurance, and that's what Snapshot from Progressive is for. So why aren't you signing up? You need music to get pumped? Hit it! Drum solo! Ow, that hurts my fingers.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
The 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is underway, and you can get caught up on the latest information for this week's race on Fridays right here, ESPN New Orleans. And it's all sponsored by Rogers Parts, locally owned, nationally known. Rogers Parts has been serving the local area for over 50 years. Get the expert analysis and latest news of this week's NASCAR racing event all throughout the season, every Friday on ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. Napa Know-How.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Stan Van Gundy.
Well, I think more efficient in his passing to me
takes him over the top on Jordan. Both great scorers. Jordan a better scorer. Maybe LeBron more efficient. LeBron's passing.
Paul Pierce.
My thing is, how do we judge who's better? Is it because it's not an individual sport? So it's individual. It's, I mean, look, no, it's an individual thing combined with team success. Of course, LeBron has more skill level than probably anyone ever. But when you look at accolades and team success, that puts Jordan right at the top.
Gus Cattingill and Anthony Piganelli. Tony and the Field is
That's
the
right.
podcast you got going on there. Part of the Tulane video department here. We're having a basketball discussion this morning at breakfast. So let's kind of get into it. Brian chiming in saying, you know what? He can make an argument, he says, that LeBron has just as big of an impact as Michael does in maybe different areas, right? Jordan had commercial impact. Jordan had impact on the game growing globally. Jordan had impact on, you know, statistics, records, the championships, the works. He did all of that. But what he didn't do was be very socially active. If anything, he shied away from it. One of his biggest criticisms has been, look, a guy like your stature, you come out and say something, you could have done a lot more stuff. You can't say that about LeBron. We can talk about his free throws and his lack of clutch shooting sometimes.
Come on, man.
I know you want to get into it. He missed more free throws yesterday. But the thing is, when you think about it, he has been about player empowerment, and he has been very socially active. He's worn shirts after shootings and things of that nature. So that is one thing that you can say that separates them, and that is an impact.
Yeah, whether you love politics or you hate him, there's no denying that LeBron has been involved in social issues much more to the degree that Jordan ever was. You said it. I think Jordan strategically shied away from all that. And LeBron is right in the spotlight of it. He's, as you said, worn apparel. He's gone on numerous talk shows and radio shows and publicly said it on all of his digital platforms, yeah. Whatever is on his mind politically. And so, like I said, whatever end of the spectrum that you're on there, agree, disagree, he's all about it, and Jordan wasn't. And that, those are just the facts.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you look at a show like The Shop on HBO.
Oh, it gets incredibly political on that show. Yeah.
And again, those are things that, I mean, they're out there speaking about it. A lot of athletes wouldn't do that. You know, worried about, now, again, maybe he can afford it to be able to say that way, knowing that he can do that. So, because at the end of the day, if you say something that can hurt you commercially, that's probably what keeps a lot of athletes from being very vocal.
Yeah, I think this day and age, I mean, especially with the social media and everyone paying attention to every single word and misrepresenting quotes in the media, I think that you have to be so cautious if you are a public figure, a professional athlete, that no matter what you say, it can be used against you. So that's why a lot of guys don't even indulge in politics. Personally, I'm not a fan of indulging in politics at all, and I can see why a lot of people, especially in that limelight, would never even address topics like that.
All right, so you heard Stan Van Gundy a little bit there, and Paul Pierce kind of either touch. Because, again, it is interesting that it's not one of the greatest is who is the greatest.
Why does it always have to be that, right?
Right.
I think that is because in this day and age, everyone wants the hot takes. They want the debate. That's what people think that they want. And so that's what leads all these shows. That's what's on the topic bars. That's what everyone is debating. It can't just be a rational argument about, well, gee, you know, is LeBron better in this category, or was Jordan more dominant in this playoff series? No, it's every single day on every single show, MJ versus LeBron. And then God forbid if that doesn't work, let's bring on LeVar Ball for the third time this week.
That's exactly right. Let's go do that. You know, they're different players.
They are. And it was different eras too. It is so impossible to compare these guys because LeBron, this is where I'll favor LeBron. He's going up against guys that, in my opinion, are way, way more athletic, a lot more skilled than some of these guys that Jordan was going up against. And I mean, granted, Jordan was so dominant, like I said, he made them look bad. But you mean to tell me that Craig Elo would be in today's NBA? Craig Elo? Rajah Bell is giving Craig Elo 50 on a nightly basis. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, look, you bring up some interesting points that we were talking about this morning about some of the starters and players that he attacked or went up against. I guess what I would say, too, is it's a little different from this aspect of it. While there is unquestionably more athleticism, while there is unquestionably the fact that the NBA is even transitioning to positionless basketball.
Absolutely.
Where if you were this tall, you played forward, you played small forward. Now they're looking at it, and you'll see some guys where, like, we're looking at the perfect example of Zion, and people are going, but he's only 6'7", 6'8", where's he going to be? I'm like, do you watch him play? The guy covers a three-point shooter and blocks his shot in the corner. He helps and steals the ball at the three-point arc and leads the transition. So it's positionless basketball. You see guys of all shapes and AD shooting threes and all that. Not that people in New Orleans wanted him to shoot threes and go play on the block.
Not that they care about him at all anymore.
No, exactly. But my thing is, Anthony, I think what's interesting is, yes, while it's been athletic and things of that nature, I also think the shooting was better back then. Maybe more fundamental. Maybe they played better basketball, perhaps, team-wise and things of that nature. I think it was definitely more physical till that happens. Like, could, and you and I, this is what we talked about this morning, could Detroit be the bad boys today?
No.
I mean, Boogie this week got, you know.
They'd all fall out. They'd all foul out in the first half.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't even think you could play that way.
No.
You'd have today's media call them they're dirty. I mean, it was essentially Delavadovas, you know, left and right.
Yeah. Oh, there were plenty of Delavadovas that Jordan was beating up on in the 90s. There were guys worse than Delavadova that Jordan was playing against in some of those playoff series.
I do agree with you that, look, there's athleticism, there's differences and things of that nature. And then I'll go to cleanse myself and I'll watch the highlights. And he was just so dominant.
He was.
He was just so quick.
He was.
He was just.
I'm not arguing against that.
The thing was this. The guy just attacked you. And we had this discussion this morning. Westbrook's the closest that reminds me, you know, of him, where he just went, it was the tenacity and the energy that he played. And maybe it's coming back up because of the last 2 weeks with what we've seen LeBron, where his teammates are shoving him to go play defense, you know, and things like that. So, I don't know. Larry, let's go to you real quick and chime into the conversation. What you got, bud?
Hey, real quick. Yeah. All I want to say, I disagree with the guy when he talked about like the different players that they played against. Mm-hmm. All I'm gonna say, I know I don't have that much time. All I'm gonna say is during Jordan's era, they played. It wasn't technical one, technical two. It was a hard foul. So I think playing then versus now. I know they have more athletic guys playing now. All I'm saying now is, back then, you didn't have to be the same size to check a guy. You could hammer a guy going to the wheelchair and not get thrown out the game. So I just want y'all guys to touch on that, and I'll let you go.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you, Larry. Let's hit the quick break. We'll come back and touch on that, Anthony, because I think that's the one thing that stands out. That's what I was bringing up. I mean, that was P.J. Brown's game. That was, you know, Oakley's game. I mean, they took care of you and were able to do that. I mean, he averaged 30 points, Jordan did. What would he average in today's game where you can get a little bit more freedom and room and there's more spacing and it's different hoops, you know?
It's different hoops, man. I think back then to talk to what Larry just brought up, it was more physical for sure. I mean, Jordan was literally going up against 9-to-5 blue collar workers in some of those playoff series. I mean, we had plumbers, we had electricians, we even had his valet driver guarding him in some of those.
I'm telling you though.
Come on, how are you going to work 9-to-5 and then guard Jordan later that night? That's tough.
But I think you're discrediting the talent on those players in those early years.
Craig Elo is not playing Craig today's Elo. NBA. Craig Elo is not playing in today's 800-981-0003.
Tony Gus, the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
My neighbors always ask me, hey, Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get a greener, stronger lawn, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing your lawn the nutrition and weed control it needs to stay lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
When weather hits, the right wiper blades make all the difference. That's when the Michelin Man is on your side, helping you see better and drive safer with new Michelin Premium Wiper Blades. Designed with exclusive Smart Flex technology, our frameless beam-designed Michelin blades flex to the curve of your windshield, giving you unparalleled, streak-free, long-lasting, all-season performance. So when the going gets tough, be ready with Michelin Premium Wiper Blades. It's a difference you can see. Available at Walmart, Pep Boys, Amazon, and other fine retailers.
It takes special skills to be a Daikin Comfort Pro. Let's listen in as he senses an old, inefficient system's imminent demise.
So costly. Tormented by an ongoing battle over the thermostat. Its days are numbered.
You got all that by waving your hand in the air in our living room?
Get to know your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
Car Rescue Wayne's Air and Heat. Rescuing you from the heat and cold and saving you from high prices. Call 985-532-6640.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back to ESPN New Orleans, where we are pleased to welcome in Dr. Samer Shamia, board-certified orthopedic surgeon from Disco, Louisiana. Why don't we start with, who is Dr. Samer Shamia?
Hi, I'm Dr. Samer Shamia. I'm a board-certified and fellowship-trained orthopedic spine surgeon. I specialize in treating neck disorders and low back disorders. Things that I've treated are herniated discs, stenosis, degenerative disc disease, slipped discs. I used to go to LSU and play tennis for the nationally top-ranked Tigers, and then I went to medical school in Shreveport. I did a residency there, and I trained at the Spine Institute of Arizona with a neurosurgeon for 6 months and with an orthopedic surgeon for 6 months. My main specialty is minimally invasive spine surgery.
Doctor, what is minimally invasive spine surgery?
Minimally invasive spine surgery is just a different technique of operating on the spine. And instead of making the traditional big incision with lots of muscle tearing and cutting that comes with a lot of pain and increased rehab. What we do is we go through the muscles to get to the affected area. I like to tell people it's like what a cardiologist does with a stent instead of cracking the chest, like a cardiovascular surgeon. So in other words, it's the least invasive way to get to the spine. We do the same things as the traditional way, but we do it through a much less invasive operation.
And, Doctor, where do you practice?
We have offices at Disc of Louisiana, D-I-S-C, all around the lake. So my main office is in Covington, but we have offices in Hammond, where my partner, Dr. Jeremy James, practices. We have offices in Slidell, Metairie, Baton Rouge, Gonzales, and Houma.
Well, a handful of locations there. Why so many, Doctor?
What we do is so specialized. There are not a lot of people that do what we do, so we like to go out to the community and offer them to see us in the clinic in all of these locations so they don't have to travel so much. Once they see us in clinic and decide to have surgery, we may ask them to travel a little bit to go to the surgery centers that we operate in, but the follow-up care is in at their hometown. So we try to roll out the red carpet for our patients.
Now, what would you say sets Disc of Louisiana in your practice apart from other spine practices?
I think what sets us apart is the fact that we're very conservative. We like patients to go through quite a bit of conservative treatments, such as anti-inflammatory medicines and therapy, as well as some type of injections like epidural steroid injections, or some people have heard of something called a radiofrequency ablation. All of these things are conservative measures to try to avoid surgery. I've been a patient myself, and I've gone through multiple complex and complicated surgeries, so I know that being a patient is very stressful. We try to make it as easy as possible for patients to undergo surgery by giving them confidence that we're not just trying to jump into surgery. You know, when you make an appointment with us, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get signed up for surgery. In fact, I'll see patients 5, 6, 7 times trying to convince them not to have surgery. But when they finally make that decision to have surgery, they can feel confident that they've done everything they possibly can. And if surgery is the best option for them, undergo that type of procedure in the least invasive way.
Now, Doctor, I'm not talking about running around after a 2-year-old or cutting the grass.
But I'm talking about when someone really has back pain out there. When should it be time for them to make an appointment?
So typically about 90 to 95% of Americans will have an episode of neck or low back pain. And so if they've been to the ER or the urgent care, and if they have unrelenting pain, like it doesn't give up, doesn't go away, they can make an appointment anytime with us. We'd be happy to see them, and we'd be happy to order the correct imaging or whatever needs to be done to fully diagnose the problem. But if something's been nagging for 3 to 6 months, it's a good time to come see a specialist, and we can direct traffic. We can direct the treatment that the patient needs. So if they need physical therapy, we'd be happy to order it. If they need imaging, we'd be happy to order it. Sometimes there are some serious conditions that happen right away, and we may recommend surgery immediately. That's rare, but it happens sometimes. So at least if you come and see us, you have kind of the upper echelon of specialists that can direct treatment from the beginning.
Thanks for your time, doctor.
And I appreciate you having me on.
We have
got a hot take.
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003
or tweet us at ESPN Radio. Yes. Anthony. This is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, my friend. Anthony Piganelli. You have a podcast, Tony and the Field. We can have some fun with this because, again, this was a spirited breakfast conversation we were having. How old are you?
26.
Yeah. See, I'm 43. And I think, again, and it's not your fault. You didn't get a chance to see early hoops, just like I didn't get a chance to see. And I hear my dad and other people talk about Pistol Pete Maravich or, you know, really Dr. J was Jordan before. I mean, I get it. I do. I understand that. So let's have some fun next hour. We'll open up the phone lines. We have no guests. We can go back and forth here, that era, this era, and things of that nature, in which it is different because, as I said, I think when I look at that era, the physicality is something that I think you just can't overlook, right? And Scott, points out, Scott Alexander chimes in, he goes, by the way, for your guy Anthony, Craig Elo, who you said would be, what, cooking?
Craig standard? Elo wouldn't be on a G League team.
Okay, so a G League team.
Craig Elo would not be on a G League
7,500 points, 2,500 assists, 3,500 rebounds, and also that Cleveland team, which produced one of the greatest moments ever for Michael Jordan.
That's right, yeah.
You know, breaking their hearts twice. Sorry, Joey, he's from Cleveland. Had Mark Price, Brad Doherty, Kevin Johnson, Larry Nance, Rod Harper, Hot Rod Williams, who went to Tulane, by the way, and Elo, good team. And they would be a pretty good team now. Scott says they would be the second best team in the NBA right now.
What?
That team.
Hold on. Say that last sentence again.
It says second best team in the NBA here right now.
In the NBA.
Yeah.
He's not the National Basketball Association.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even be the second best team in college right now.
But here's where I think that you and I can have an interesting conversation. The shooting was better. Like, people could knock down actual jumpers. I don't know if I agree with that.
Really? I don't know if I agree that the shooting was better.
Do you think the shooting is better in today's NBA?
Yes.
Half the guys don't play defense, if they do. And you think overall the shooting is better in today's NBA?
Yes.
I don't.
Absolutely. I think it's absolutely better.
It's more three-point base shooting.
Right.
Okay, they can't hit inside the arc or off the elbow or outside the paint.
Well, okay, so what's the conversation here? Shooting overall? Because the three's more valuable, and
right,
that's just a different game now.
Okay.
So can they not make mid-range shots as efficiently? I guess, but that doesn't really matter in today's NBA. So, again, I mean, this is what people don't like when you actually dive into the conversation. You're not just like one end of the spectrum.
Right.
I would argue it's better today because the – better three-point shooters, the three's worth more, and that's like ultimately what people judge shooters on these days. It's like, okay, well, can you hit a three? Because we don't need you to take a three-dribble contested pull-up, too.
Right, but I also think part of the problem is people getting out there and playing defense in order to contest it.
Yeah, it's. I will say this.
Because if I do contest your three and you don't make it, you're going to get smoked.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's Houston's issue, right? I mean, like, Houston, whether they're incredibly tough to beat, whether they're knocking down their shots because they can. From downtown.
Or Harden's on the free throw line for the 20th time.
Exactly right. Because of that. Now, again, I guarantee you Harden's free throw attempts would be cut in half in yesterday's NBA, right? Yesterday's NBA. Here we go.
We got some stats here for you. This ought to be
fun.
Okay?
This is a good one. Go ahead.
We're going to go into this for next year, next hour. Got all hour open up 800-998-1003 if you want to chime in as well. Evan Drexler is the sports information director for Tulane. He turned around his laptop just now and showed me league field goal percentage, 1995. Anthony, 46.6%. In 2018, the league field goal percentage is 46.1%. So at the very least, we can argue based on those numbers, it's the same.
Yeah, but what I would say to that is how many of those plumbers in 96 were just getting wide open layups, you know, instead of shooting hard threes? But I mean, a three is harder to make than a layup, and they're obviously more three shot in today's league. So that number is obviously going to be conflated because more 3-point attempts, that lowers the percentage as opposed to guys that are just right at the rim laying it in.
All right,
but it was more physical back in the 90s, right? No easy layups.
No, of course not. Charles Barkley made a career out of putting you on your backside.
Craig Elo wouldn't even be Paul George's driver today. His own personal driver.
Well, I wouldn't drive him to the arena, huh? Craig
Elo.
7,500 points. Craig Elo
is not a top 20 player in today's NBA. He's not even on the G League, man.
I'll say this. I do think right now you got some incredibly athletic players.
Oh, yeah.
That's for
it's
sure.
It's just evolution. It's just natural.
Right. So let's have fun in hour number three here, 800-998-1003. He's 26, I'm 43. I'm going with the NBA of back then that it was a little harder, and it, I think, accentuates what Jordan was able to do.
Yeah, I think it is hard to go 9-5 and then play an NBA game later that night.
That's unbelievable. Hour three is coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.